right, ladies and gents, it's that time. Turn up your speakers, strap on a smile. It's the Sims and Lefko Podcast. Here's your host, Adam Lefko and Chris Sims.
All right, okay, episode 63 of the Sims and Lefko Podcast. Do you got one?
Yo, kid. Oh, 63. Well, I can always come up with a minute.
I think Hank Fraley wore 63, old center
for
the Eagles.
You can't hit me with the I think crap. First of all, Carl Nelson, my dad's left tackle back with the Giants, 63. Another great one. This is off the top of my head. This is what a great numbers connoisseur I am. Gene Upshaw.
Was he?
Yes, Hall
That's
of Fame
really
lineman.
One.
Yeah, there you go.
Number one player on the Sports Reference page.
Was Gene Upshaw?
Or 63.
There
yeah.
you
Hendrick,
go.
Who is your 63?
I just had the page pulled up. I also have Mike Munchak here. I
don't
have a
63. Oh, that's a good one.
Myself.
That was my old coach.
I'm not going to take credit.
We were watching an old game in the kitchen, and it was like, what team was he on?
The Oilers. No.
No, in college.
No. Munchak is, I think he's from Pitt. Yeah.
Penn State. And they were playing Dan Marino.
Right,
Dan Marino
so
looked
Pitt.
Like such a mess in college. It was awesome.
With like
Gabe,
his Jerry curls hanging out.
Stinky fingers. Good to have the stinky fingers back.
Oh,
control
baby.
Room. Hello, you beautiful people.
Oh, hey. Yep, everyone's awake in there.
Good to see you. All right, so let me take you through what we got. I actually think this is going to be a very fun episode.
Oh, look at this.
And now we got Rick
Bucher. You're
going
to intro everybody else.
Hey, can you close the door, please, though?
Yeah, what are you,
I mean, we're trying to do a podcast here.
Jeez. Were you born in a barn?
Jeez.
I know you guys are talking NBA later.
Yes.
And I know I was supposed to come on then.
But you
but I decided,
flight.
Screw it. As long as he's going to be a walking Esquire magazine, let me give you fashion tips. Let me give you dietary tips. Let me tell you about the agave. I figured, you know what? Screw it. I can come in here and I can talk
no
anytime
doubt.
I want.
You can.
And I don't want to stay long. It's
Good.
Just, it's a... It's a follow-up from a conversation we were having, because I heard
right.
through Lefko
right.
that you were dissing my man Draymond Green.
He thinks Draymond Green is the most overrated player in the NBA.
That's how he sold it. You were telling me, I didn't really diss him.
I don't know if those words came out of my mouth. All I know is they said he's not in the top 10.
All
that's
I know
all
is
I said.
And you're right, he's
up.
In the top 5.
I don't know about that.
What? He should be all NBA first team. Now that's a little bit different,
right?
Because you have positions,
right?
But when I look at the center position,
yes,
and you have to pick a center,
yeah. right?
I'm not picking Andre Drummond. I'm not picking DeMarcus Cousins. I'm not picking Dwight Howard. I'm not leaving Draymond Green out of the first team for one of those guys, considering when they play small,
right.
he ends up playing the 5.
Right.
Now, you have the competition at the forward positions. You have Kevin Durant. You have Kawhi Leonard.
Right.
You have Draymond Green.
You have LaMarcus Aldridge.
I'm not putting
What are you going to put in?
What?
Yeah.
He loves LaMarcus Aldridge.
Yeah, I love LaMarcus Aldridge.
Oh,
yeah.
It might be a Texas thing.
You know, I think that might be.
All I'm saying is, if you had the top 10 picks of any players in the NBA, I'm not taking Draymond Green with the top 10. And that's what I went. Now, you're right. Maybe with a team-oriented thing.
Yes.
That is a little different discussion. But I don't think I could take him as far as NBA. I could start my team, 10 players off the board.
You're
I don't think.
You're going to go LeBron, Steph, Kawhi. Who else are you putting?
Well, I mean, I'm Westbrook.
Yeah, obviously.
Okay.
Durant,
yes. And then you get into conversations where, yeah, it can get interesting.
Well, he threw Kyrie out there at one point.
I did throw Kyrie out there. You're right.
You wouldn't do that.
Or put Clay over him, too.
Yeah, Chris Paul. My other thing, too, is, like, I look at a guy, like, and I go, okay, Blake Griffin. We're not going to say he's in the top 10. I understand that.
Right.
But, I mean, I think if we put Blake Griffin on the Golden State Warriors instead of Draymond Green, we'd all be going, you know, he's one of the 5 or 6 best players in the NBA.
I think the Warriors are so...
So that's where
like
I get conflicted.
Patriots.
But I bow to you. I mean, with that top...
This is the part that makes it difficult with Draymond.
Button,
and I'm going to go after this. But Draymond, the intangibles are off the charts. And,
right.
and of those guys that you mentioned,
yeah.
and we had this discussion, he's a better two-way player than Steph Curry is. He's a better two-way player than Russ Westbrook is. He's a better two-way player than Kevin Durant is. And I could make the case
right.
he's a better two-way player than Kawhi Leonard.
That was the one that shocked me when you said that.
Yeah,
because of his playmaking ability.
Right.
Like the problem that the Spurs had down the stretch, and
right.
the reason they weren't going to Kawhi Leonard to win that pivotal game
right.
5, which shocked me.
Right.
They went to Tim Duncan and Tony Parker.
It was so weird.
It's because Kawhi can get his one-on-one, and he can stop guys one-on-one.
Right.
But Draymond will playmake. He'll either
can play the
make
pick and
the big
roll,
drive,
make the right pass, make the shot.
Both offensively and defensively,
right.
yeah.
he's going to make the guys around him better.
Mm.
And you can, I mean, if you want to go to analytics, look at what Steph Curry is as a pick and roll defender with Draymond
right.
and without Draymond.
Mm. Right.
He allows Steph Curry to be on the floor. And when you look at the pivotal game in the overtime game where Steph had his miraculous 17
yes.
points in overtime,
right.
Draymond Green's defensive effort
right.
through the first 48 minutes, you're not in overtime oh, if he's not stopping
Dame Lillard.
Stopping Lillard. I mean, whoever needed to be stopped at
yeah.
the time,
yeah.
he did it.
My thing is, it's really funny. Is
I just
why
can't
do we have this
I hear you there.
Why
I hear
do we
you.
Have this fascination in sports that when a team is doing really well, we're obsessed with figuring out who gets all the credit for yeah. it? When really it's like this amazing system. Like, it's the Scottie Pippen story. We're going to spend the entire time going, what did he really do for Jordan?
Yeah.
Like, it's the same thing right now with Durant and Westbrook. Man, they're amazing. Yeah. Billy Donovan, did they just mature at the right time and it happened to be this year, or was it him? And we never just sit back and go, they just got it going on. We have to like pick and pry
yes.
all the time.
Yes, and yeah. find that order. And the truth of it is, it's all of those pieces coming together.
Yes.
And it's everybody being content with the part that they are
sure.
playing.
Because there's
right.
always a limit to when there's one guy. Allen Iverson led the team and they won one game and that was as far as he could go.
Yeah.
He led the team. These guys have the
See,
teams, the units.
See, I disagree with that. I think the reason they went as far as they did is because all the other guys said, not that they were great talents, but we're going to do all the dirty work
right.
stuff.
Yeah.
And we're going to let Allen be Allen.
Oh,
right.
That was amazing.
And
that was
so,
my favorite.
But I don't want to discount what those guys did
yeah, the dirty
to
work.
Allow him to be
right.
that. You have
yeah.
to have guys who go, I'm not going to get shots,
sure.
but I'm just going to defend.
Right.
Guess what? You're that guy. It was really great to see you. That was awesome.
What a jerk.
Hey,
yeah.
man.
No.
I mean,
guys,
it was perfect.
You got,
it was great.
You got other guests?
You got,
I know. Well, you're flying back to the West Coast right now.
He's got, what's that?
What time's your flight?
I'm pretty much, yes. I'm headed
Good
to the
Good luck.
Airport.
New York traffic's a lot of fun today.
I told him to take the train.
I
he doesn't
already
take the train.
It this morning.
Holy cow.
I know. He's like,
I said to take NJ Transit
he goes,
to Newark Airport. It drops you off right there.
This is what he said.
I think the trains are
a
disaster.
New Jersey can't.
On the way.
He goes, NJ Transit, it's the best.
It is the best to get there to Newark go. Airport.
That's your next promo.
No, it's actually a great transition.
I'm totally, building a team, I would want Draymond on my team. Give me 10 picks. I'm not taking him in the top 10. I don't care what you say.
All right.
I'll see you soon.
See ya.
Be good.
I hear you had a good
Warrior
experience today.
Oh my gosh, dude. I mean, I'm just telling you, the world is just full of idiots right now. It's unbelievable.
So what happened?
Well,
what time were you supposed to get here today? We're shooting this, and it's about 1:45.
I am on the 9 o'clock train. I usually
9 a.m.
9 a.m. train. I usually walk in the office around 10:15 to 10:30.
You walk in, you go, hey, f***ers, and then
exactly
we start
right. There we go. That's how my day starts.
Write it down.
Well, I didn't get off the train. I got on the train at 9 o'clock. I didn't get off the train until 12:11 today. 3-hour train ride because there was a fire last night. I didn't watch the news last night. I watched Cavs Raptors, went to bed. But there's only one track working, and it was a disaster. Some brilliant person decided to put flammable... The city of New York let some company store flammable substances underneath mass transit. A million people go in and out of Grand Central every day. They just said, let's put some stuff that can burn and kill everybody below them.
Did you find this out while you were on the train? Did you look it up?
I found it out because I looked at the train schedule and I go, why am I making every stop? Because I wasn't on the express train. We were stopping all these other towns.
Yeah.
And I looked at the train thing, the train app, and it said, no express trains today. It's a Saturday schedule because of the fire on 118th
Street. Are you
Street.
A kind of person that when it's happening, you're like, can you believe this? Are you kidding? Or are you sitting there stewing by yourself?
I stew by myself, but then the conversation came up and then we started
Isn't
stew.
It funny I to watch a lot of people in those situations and they're all like, I swear, I'm never taking this train. It's like, yeah, okay, you're going to take the train tomorrow.
The train's usually great, but that was a disaster today.
All right, usually great, just like our show.
Yeah.
Let me give you the quick rundown. One, we're talking RG3 because a story came out that we've known for a long time that we were told we couldn't talk about.
Right.
And now we can talk about it. So it's RG3 and Mike Shanahan.
Yes.
Also want to talk about Michael Bennett and Sam Bradford, which it's awesome because the number one thing we've always talked about is Sam Bradford really worth three Michael Bennett?
Yes, right.
That conversation came up.
Sure.
And we're going to have Paul Scheer in studio from the league. And apparently Yo Gabba Gabba.
Yo Gabba Gabba. I know you from Paul Scheer.
Yeah, so I'm excited to talk about him. We're going to have fun.
When Charlotte was like 7 or 6 or 5. I don't even know.
All right. So the RG3 story.
Right.
It came out on The Undefeated, which is the new ESPN's website.
Right.
I'm going to, like, if do you want to read it?
Sure.
Yeah,
so
give
I
us the information
that we talked about. So this is just one paragraph from the article.
Yeah.
So it says, February 5th, 2013, Griffin called for a meeting. He declined to tell Mike Shanahan what he wanted to discuss, saying only it was important.
Griffin, just wanted all of them in the office to have a meeting.
Griffin, Mike, and Kyle Shanahan and quarterbacks coach
Matt LaFleur, right,
gathered in the offensive meeting room. It's like you know this story. At the team headquarters in Ashburn, Virginia. With the coaches seated, Griffin walked to a blackboard and wrote, "Change things, change our protections, unacceptable, bottom line." So those were the four things he wrote.
Ha!
And then the next part of the paragraph says, Griffin instructed the coaches
I had the balls to do that. That's the first thing. Let me just say that. The guy obviously has big balls because that's just ridiculous.
To go and tell Mike Shanahan, Super Bowl winning coach, and the team that made you like the rookie of the year, like a Pro Bowl.
I mean, you had to have a set of kahunas on you like never before.
Because you've said before that's a time of the year where the coaches are not in the office.
If I remember correctly, it was a coach's day off. They did not have to be there. They were there just because RG3 was holding a meeting.
So the four things were change things, change our protections, unacceptable, bottom line that he wrote on the whiteboard.
Right.
The next paragraph that we wanted to read, Griffin instructed the coaches to let him speak uninterrupted and roll through a list of grievances, stressing that substantive changes had to occur immediately. Scrap the pass protection scheme and start over, Griffin demanded.
Wow, yeah.
So,
scrap the pass protection scheme, Mike Shanahan, when you won 2 Super Bowls with John Elway and the Denver Broncos. Scrap it. Doesn't work.
So you told us this story two years ago?
Right.
And I think he was kind of sworn to secrecy, and it sucked because Shanahan was taking a brunt of all this blame for what happened in Washington.
Right.
And now it's coming out like 2 years later.
Ha,
like
Shanahan.
What happened?
Ha, ha, ha.
So I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I've told this story.
Okay.
But I've told it.
No, not you. Not
Lefko opened his mouth.
I've told people. I'd be like,
the same guy who told my wife I was flirty. You did that? Are you sure? Why?
I'll never forget. I was like getting my hair cut when I first moved to New York, and this guy was like, "Yo, RG3," and I was like, "Yo, you want to hear something about how much of a punk RG3 is?"
That is it.
Now I don't think RG3 is like that anymore. I feel like he went through some humbling process, like a lot of humility.
He grew, and the one thing that he says in the article, I didn't read the whole article. I don't need to read it, but Mike, I do believe Coach Shanahan pretty much blames it on Dan Snyder, right?
He does. In the next paragraph, he says, like, unacceptable is a word that Dan Snyder used to use all the time.
Right. And then,
so he went to Dan Snyder's office right afterwards, it says in the article,
right,
and said, what are you doing to this
kid? Well, I mean, that story is, it truly is unbelievable. I mean, first of all, I love that Mike Shanahan, Super Bowl winning coach, no longer on the Redskin payroll. They've paid him all his money, and he's just throwing haymakers. I love it. They deserve it. Dan Snyder deserves it. Dan Snyder is definitely part of the reason to blame there with RG3. The story I've always known is that Dan Snyder went down and basically stayed in a room with RG3 while he recovered from the ACL surgery. So he did that. So obviously he was influencing some of these thoughts that RG3 was having, and obviously influencing him to go, hey, call a meeting,
so
rookie punk.
This was the quote from Mike here. He said he used to have had the full support of the owner and, in my opinion, the GM to even have a conversation like that.
Right.
He had the best rookie, best year for a rookie quarterback in the history of the game.
Right.
He got selected to the Pro Bowl. We went to the playoffs. We tried to get him to slide. We tried to get him to throw the ball away. If he told me he was hurt, I would have taken him out of the playoff game. To hear him, it was really incredible.
They did everything to make sure RG3 was the happiest, most comfortable guy in the NFL his whole rookie year. I mean, literally, if RG3 said, hey, Coach Shanahan, you know, my butt's a little sore, can you, like, massage it a little? They probably would have done it. That's how accommodating they were to him. So for him to do that at the end of the day is so disrespectful, so immature. But you're right. I don't blame it all on RG3. He has grown. There's no doubt about that. I've talked to a few guys.
Plus, if the owner's coming and talking to you.
You're right. That's a very big influence.
He's the one signing your checks.
Yes.
You know he's the most powerful guy.
You're
there.
A young kid, and you think, well, maybe I don't really know the way I'm supposed to act or the way things go down in the NFL. Maybe this is what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah. It really is illuminating to know. Like, we all know that Dan Snyder is a controlling guy.
Right.
And we all know that he puts his hands way too much in the organization.
Right.
This is showing the extent of that, and that is really crazy. crazy. Do you think that this story was known across the league? I mean, if I knew it, I imagine a lot of people.
I would imagine it has gotten out one way or another.
For NFL teams that are hearing this, for if Hugh Jackson didn't know this story,
right,
and he's reading it,
yeah,
what do you think the reaction is in the NFL?
You know, I don't think they're going to be surprised by anything. I think everybody's heard enough horror stories about RG3 in those first few years, as is anyways. So I don't think anyone's going to look back at this now and go, oh, man, I mean, he really is a jerk. I mean, we know what he is at this point. He's working on that to become a better player, better professional. And that's that. But it is an unbelievable story. I love that.
Aside from the coaches and scouts and GMs that might know about it, what about the players on the Browns? Because I feel like players might be more out of the gossip loop on something like that.
Like you're saying, he's got balls on him.
Yes. Players,
Am I right to assume that some of the players would be less likely to have heard the story?
Definitely, yes. Okay. NFL players, you know, I think first, that's one
coaching
thing.
Coaching stories goes around coaches, player stories go around players.
Right. Players, and of course, players in the NFL. See, as fans, we think like all 53 guys in an NFL locker room have an idea of what's going on in the NFL. And you'd be shocked at how many guys you'd go in and go, hey, did you watch the Monday Night Football game last night? And they go, oh, no, who won? And you'd be like, damn, you didn't watch it? That was a good game.
Yeah.
So not everybody's invested like you see a Brandon Marshall or a myself or some of the other personalities where they actually pay attention to everything that's going on, some of the storylines behind the scenes. And honestly, RG3 in the Cleveland locker room, I bet you there's going to be some guys in there going, man, that was big. That's a baller move, RG3. I bet you they're joking around with him a little day.
Interesting.
If he's cool, they're going,
almost supportive of it.
You're just like, you know, you're a baller. You're a boss for that right there. Yeah. You're a boss for doing that meeting.
Why are you laughing?
I'm just laughing at my voice, and he's giggling, and I like when Motherhead giggles. Right.
Speaking of, I guess, quarterbacks throwing their weight around.
Right.
We just had that with Sam Bradford. Holding out for 2 weeks and then coming back. We were worried that maybe Michael Bennett was going to hold out because talk about most underpaid players in the NFL.
Right.
He's probably number one.
Okay. Yep.
He had a quote.
Right.
I'll let you react to it. I'm going to let Mother Hen read it because that's his job. So calm the
This was on ESPN
now,
Radio. See,
now he's got to read, but he also has to write down the time of the curse.
Two curses.
A lot of stuff going on in his brain.
Jay, can you mark that time down? All right, so here's the quote. This was on ESPN Radio in Seattle.
Right.
I listened to Sam Bradford again. I just almost threw up. I can't believe Sam Bradford is complaining about making $40 million in the next 2 years because he actually has to compete for a position. This guy right here definitely sets a bad tone of what a player should be. Then he goes on to say, if I was his teammate, how can you play with a guy that doesn't want to compete at a high level and feels like his position should be solidified without even putting up the stats or the wins to back that up?
Right.
So that was Michael Bennett
really
on Sam Bradford.
It's really interesting that a player say this because it sounds
Michael
like it's
Bennett,
coming from a fan.
You disagree with him, right?
Well, I do disagree with him. Michael Bennett, I almost always agree with everything he says. And I understand his points there. I think this one he is wrong about. First of all, this is the first thing. The first person he has to blame is himself. That was a stupid contract he signed, 4 years, $28 million. It was stupid on Drew Rosenhaus as well, who's his agent. It was just dumb. I remember when he signed it going, 4 years, $28 million? I was like, at the time, they had just won the Super Bowl, and I was saying he was definitely one of the five best defensive linemen in football. He is Malik Jackson before Malik Jackson, who just got a $90 million deal with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Second thing is this. First of all, don't be mad at Sam Bradford and Michael Bennett. Be mad at the Philadelphia Eagles for paying him $18 million guaranteed this year. That's stupid. Yes. No. Sam Bradford is not worth three Michael Bennetts, but at the same time, the quarterback position is different from this standpoint. First of all, don't mess with a player in his business side of it, all right? That's an unwritten rule of the NFL. He should know better to really judge someone else's situation and their money-making situation.
Why is that such an unwritten
rule?
Well,
because it's a business. And unlike Michael Bennett's position, there's four people that can play his position on the field at the same time. There's only one quarterback, and he has no chance of succeeding there. If you guys start out 4-0, he's thrown five touchdowns and five interceptions, it's not great,
no.
There's a good chance he's going to get benched. He's in a no-win situation.
Yeah.
So I just say to Michael Bennett there, don't be mad at Sam Bradford.
What did you think
be
about what he
Eagles.
Said at the end?
About the teammates?
Yeah, what did he say about that again?
He just said, if I was his teammate, how can you play with a guy that doesn't want to compete at a high level and feels like his position should be solidified without putting up stats or wins?
Nothing
to back
is
it up.
Talking about being solidified. Nothing in Sam Bradford has said about competing. He wants to be the starting quarterback. He wanted to go somewhere where he's going to get a fair shot. Guys in his locker room who know Sam Bradford, they're going to understand the situation. And also, being told we're going to draft a quarterback at number two It's a huge different story. Okay?
So this isn't about competing for the starting job. It's just about having a fair situation.
There is no competition. There's no such thing as a quarterback.
That's what Michael Bennett's not understanding. Right. Is
no such thing. Yeah. It does not exist.
Yeah.
The coaches already have their minds made up. It's already over.
Like, Sam Bradford's career as an Eagle already has a termination date. It's whenever Carson Wentz steps on the field and understands it.
Exactly right.
If Michael Bennett, if they drafted Frank Clark in the first round and he played the same position as Michael Bennett, one, they could both play together.
Exactly.
First of
all. They could both play.
Two, like, you can outperform that guy.
Yes. But, and you're still, even though you don't get to start, you're still going to get to play 30 to 35 snaps a game.
I think it really goes back to Michael Bennett's upset, like being upset about his own situation.
Right. He has no one to blame but himself with that. 4 years, $28 million was stupid. He deserved to be paid something a little less than a Malik Jackson or even a J.J. Watt. He
Are
was
you
that
surprised
type of player.
That he's not holding out?
Well, he's a baller, and he's not going to OTAs, but he said he'll be there for training camp.
Yeah.
So he's going to get in shape. He seems to be extremely hardworking and intelligent.
I wish he was like 5 years younger. Because he's not going to see a lot of money.
No, he's not. He needs to just max out here in the next few years.
He needs to do advertising campaigns. He's going to be like Marshawn, get some Skittles and some other stuff. Because he's got the personality.
He can come sit right here. We'd love him.
Yo, Michael Bennett, yeah. So you gave him the truth, but we still want him here.
Oh, yeah, he's the man. Really speak the truth. I usually always agree with everything he says.
Is Shear soon?
Soon.
Okay, so what I want to say is this. So Paul Shear is on the league, and because he's on the league, a lot of people come up to him and talk about football all the time. His publicist told our people that, listen, Paul Shear does not talk about football. He doesn't like talking about football. He also does, like, improv and stuff. So I'm going to test him. When he comes in, this is just for everyone listening or watching, I'm going to ask the first question super deep in the weeds football, probably about the cover three defense.
Right.
Cover three press bail.
Cover three press bail. And we're going to wait and see how he reacts. I hope he's not here, like, hearing that.
No, he's not.
But when he comes in, I think that's going to be pretty funny. One, I know that you texted Josh. You want to talk about how dumb the Bills were about Shaq Lawson getting hurt and all that. What are you going to say?
I have to cough like Adam Mefka.
Excuse You're me. Disgusting.
Yeah.
You're like a...
Thank you.
We just stop the podcast and...
Yeah,
go ahead.
I know you want to talk about how stupid that was with the Buffalo Bills and what happened there, but I'd like to talk about another dumb bison.
Sure.
Fendrick, read it.
Do you know what's coming right now?
I have... Oh, yes. Now I do.
Yes.
All right, so I'll just recap the story.
Look, you're already getting anger.
Yeah, it's... Well,
basically, so this is in one of our national parks where...
Yosemite.
In Yosemite... Some people were driving by. They saw a baby bison that they thought looked cold. So they picked up the baby bison.
No, no, no. Stop. Let him finish.
Just stop
Let him finish.
Okay.
They picked up the baby bison. They brought it into the car to try and get it warm. When they realized this was a problem with the National Park Service, they released it. They tried to reunite the baby bison with its mother. The herd of bison rejected it. And they had to euthanize the baby bison because this family picked it up. Yes,
right.
And put it in the back of their
car. So what's funny is as soon as I saw this.
Do you want to talk about the Buffalo Bills or the baby bison?
We'll talk about both.
We're talking about baby bison.
Baby bison first.
My thing is as soon as I saw this story, I thought of you. I thought of you. So what's your take?
All right, I don't even know the people.
You know that this has happened before.
Really, listen.
This is like an issue of people picking up baby bison that look cold.
I
want
to say my
like put it.
I
want to
say my Tropic Thunder line here. You know, you never go, but I can't say it because we got to be politically correct.
Yeah, don't say that.
So, but they went full freaking idiot. They're idiots, those people, and I'm sure they feel bad. But yeah, the bison is cold in May. And he is built for winters, I mean, and been on the planet for who knows how long, surviving all kinds of winters. What are they? Bisons are like family members of like woolly mammoths. But yes, he's cold. Let's throw him in the back of our car. Have you seen the picture of that?
Yeah, it's just there like what the hell's going on?
I mean, that is so ridiculous. People need to get a freaking clue.
They had to issue a statement.
And they had to kill this animal because these two idiots decided a bison where people kill the freaking animal to take his fur because it keeps you warm. Let's bring him in our car because he's cold.
The thing that I don't understand is how can you be at Yosemite and like my thing is nature is nature. You don't like if that baby was cold and is going to die, then you let it die. It's a park.
Let the wolves
eat
it.
This is not like a petting zoo.
I agree.
It's not someone's dog off the leash. What are you doing touching animals? Are you not afraid of diseases? Like, you got a lot of balls touching that thing.
Respect nature a little bit.
Yeah, so I thought of you right away.
Thanks,
with that.
I appreciate that. Yeah, that's
which
that's
is great because
crazy.
He texted me about it shortly after it came out.
This I mean, is like, they had to issue a statement.
Indian dentist who shot Cecil the lion, like, idiot. I mean, I wish I had the
see, that's malicious. This is just stupid.
Yes.
And I wonder what if there's going to be a punishment. I wonder, because if their names get out, then it becomes public embarrassment.
Yeah, no, they're going to get, they are, they're going to get.
What do you think, it's going to be like a fine or something?
Yeah, they'll
like
have issues if they get, the public gets out of this. They're going to like animal rights groups at the front of their house.
It just shows you that we think that everything revolves around us.
Oh, we're the greatest things to ever walk the planet, though we're ruining it.
Speaking of other things that are over the planet, I have another thing I want to talk about.
But the Bills thing, first of all, Rex Ryan, Doug Whaley, they're on their last leg. I mean, this is it. Have a good year. Hey, we got it. We can pick any of the top 20 players in the draft. Let's pick the one with the bum shoulder who can't play for us. Maybe we'll get fired and the next coaches can get all the good plays out of him.
Yeah.
That was just another. I mean, how stupid is that?
And
everybody knew he
like
had a labrum issue. Adam Schefter doesn't tweet out things unless
Schefter
he knows. Bomb. Schefter knows from doctors, from teams, gosh. And they still
I
draft
want
to
counter. How many Schefters do you think he said?
Is there no N in there?
No,
it's a you know it.
I know. I don't
you
care.
You just said it right after Adam laughed when you said Schefter.
I did. I didn't mean to say it right. I know him.
Another story that I'm curious. So the U.S. government right now is, I guess, pledging $1.1 billion to fight the Zika virus.
Oh.
And I was curious. Like, I know people that have mosquito nets in their apartments in New York right now, and they're fearing. The Olympics are in Brazil.
Right.
And I was curious, if you were an athlete and you were not like an NBA player, like this, like these guys don't get money and they spend all this time going, would you go to Brazil with the Zika virus?
I would.
There, you would.
I would, yeah, especially if I was an Olympic athlete. Listen, I've been training for 4 years. Mosquito's not stopping this.
Really?
This training session.
Is there any fear? Because this is my concern now.
First of all, I know a few people from Brazil and I've asked them about this and the Brazilians don't care. They're not like, well, yeah, we live down in the jungle. We have big bugs like this all the time that have like diseases.
Yeah.
This is part of like the world. But we don't realize that as Americans.
Yeah, I guess the thing that's weird to me is that you have people from all over the world coming to the place where the Zika virus is and then going back.
Well,
and apparently it's a sexually transmitted disease. And what's the story we always hear about the Olympics?
Right.
All these like insanely good athletes having sex with each other, and now they're going to all go back to their.
You've never read about that, Chris?
I have not.
They always tell stories. They're like, we've handed out 700,000 condoms to like all the athletes.
There's like a big feature story every 2 years when they have the Olympics in winter or summer.
Because it's
about
like the greatest woman from like Uruguay, like the greatest man from Poland. They look at each other like men are.
Hey, listen, everybody from all around the world's traveling down to Brazil and back, and Brazilian people that are here in New York and they're everywhere else. So if it's going to get spread, it's going to get spread.
Do you get worried about that?
I really don't.
If you go home and you see a mosquito in your house, are you like,
no, I don't. I just,
why don't you have,
well, those are things like, I don't know. It's, you know, again, you know, we make a big deal of like little things that happen naturally on the earth, like, whoa, 7 people have the mumps out of 7.7 billion. Let's shut down the world, vaccinate everyone, 50,000 shots right away. 7 people, 0.00000000007% have mumps. How did the human race ever survive?
Is this what happens when you take a 3-hour train ride to work?
Man,
you're just salty
I got a lot
about
of things
everything?
To stew up. It's just, we overblow crap. I don't care. Go down to the Olympics, win the damn races.
I think the key to a good virus is a weird enough name that it sounds like Zika virus.
Right.
You're like, oh gosh, you got Zika? Oh man. Like Ebola. Like, oh crap, that's now, Ebola's really scary.
Well,
I don't, like the funny thing about Zika is I'm scared, but I don't know
cancer
what
cancer is not scary word?
Well, cancer is like now I'm sad.
I mean, we eat a lot of crap that has cancerous stuff in it.
What's funny is
I don't even
know what the effects of the Zika virus are,
right.
But I'm afraid of it. Like, I don't know what it could do. Like, it can make me get, like, really muscular.
You're fear-driven. You let the media drive you to fear, huh?
No, I'm not really afraid. I do think it's weird that everyone in the world's going to the place where there's this virus we're all talking about, and then they're going to go back.
Right. I mean, I could get, like, if you wanted to get, like, crazy, you know me, like conspiracy theory, I would say like probably like one of the pharmaceutical companies made sure Zika got out so they could give this vaccination and make $9 billion.
Now we're going to go into the conspiracy.
That was
podcast.
My guess.
So I'm learning more and more about Sims. I've always known you were a conspiracy theorist, and that's one thing I want to talk about right before Paul gets.
Follow the rich white man. That's what I was told once. Follow the rich white man. That's where all the problems start.
You're probably right. last night I'm watching the lottery and the Philadelphia Sixers.
Hey!
Finally got the first pick in the draft. Woo! I'm very excited. But it also made me, it furthered one of my beliefs.
What do you mean, finally?
We've had the worst record for the last 3-4 years. We haven't had the first pick.
You didn't get it one time.
No. Last year, Shanae Carl-Anthony Towns got three, got Jahlil Okafor.
Right.
2 years ago, we're going to get Andrew Wiggins. No, we fell down. We got, like, Joel Embiid. Like, we could get John Wall. No, you're getting Evan Turner. Like, haven't gotten him. But it also furthered my belief that the NBA lottery is 100% rigged. It's 100%. The fact that we didn't get it when the GM that was, like, tanking all those years, and then all of a sudden we don't have Sam Hinkie, the GM that's the tank.
Right.
He's gone. And then it literally went according to plan. Like, every pick happened the same way it is. Why are we not seeing the lottery? Like it's a little bit weird that they're like, all right, it's the Sixers. It's like,
I get you.
Can we at least have it videotaped and then show them doing it later? Like, all the stories.
They used to do that. I mean, I used to get to see the ball pop up.
Well, I don't even know if they did that, but they used to do, like, the envelope, and that's where the story about the frozen envelope. Remember that story with Patrick Ewing?
I don't remember.
So that draft, right. the story was they really wanted the New York Knicks to get Patrick Ewing.
Right.
So they put the New York Knicks envelope in a freezer for, like, a day, and when they put it in there and he reached, and he's feeling around, he feels the cold one, it was, and the Knicks get the first pick in the draft.
Gotcha.
I think it's so weird in, like, an era of transparency.
Yes.
And an era where you take things like the draft lottery and extend it for ratings. Like, if we were doing that live, it would get really good ratings.
Sure.
Why is it so hidden? Like, it feels super, like, sketchball.
That's a good question. I guess the one thing that's crazy about when you just think about the lottery in general, first of all, why not just go based on record and sort it out that way?
Because they try to avoid
and
tanking.
I don't believe with the conspiracy with this, because too many people got big mouths and somebody would have said something
Mutombo,
after all these years.
And that's really funny. So yesterday at, like, 4 o'clock, Dikembe freaking Mutombo tweeted out,
right,
congratulations to the Sixers in getting the number one pick. Now, I don't know who would be texting Dikembe Mutombo or how he would find out,
right,
but he deleted it, like, right afterwards, which more goes into my conspiracy theory.
I hear you. Or that's just when they did the lottery right there and somebody texted him, like, hey,
Mutombo ain't hanging out in that room.
I don't know who Mutombo knows.
All right, get up here.
Come on, you.
Paul's here. Coming up.
What's up? How you doing?
How are you, brother?
Doing all right?
Very good. I'm here to promote my Dikembe Mutombo Twitter account, where I'm releasing a lot of good scoops.
Really?
Yeah. But I feel like if I'm Dikembe Mutombo, I want to see what the rest of the Twitter is. Forget about just talking about the Sixers. What else is he tweeting about?
That's what I would like to know. Yeah, is he doing it in his talking form?
Like, yeah, like,
no, no, no.
No, no, no. Neighbors 2 is better than Neighbors 1. You know, like what? I want to know. I want to see what's happening.
I got to ask you a really serious question.
I will tell you one thing about Dikembe before
we
go.
Please.
Yeah.
My friend went to Georgetown,
right,
and he said that he was a freshman in Georgetown.
Right.
And at the end of the night, they're at this bar, and Dikembe was in this bar. And Dikembe stands up, and he goes,
I know what you're going to say.
You? No, hold on.
Let me just say
it. Yeah, yeah. Say it. Why don't you say it?
Who wants to sex Mutombo?
Yep.
Really? That's always the story.
Go
about
ahead,
it.
Though. You said I
no,
like your
I
voice better.
No, I liked yours. That was great. I love that it's made me that's true.
Good.
Have you heard it?
Good story.
Perfect.
Your observation of the Cover 3 defense, how has it evolved?
Well, look, here's the thing about the Cover 3 defense, right? We're talking about the game has evolved always, right? We're
right.
always talking about the constant evolution of the game. And I think what we're seeing is a return to basics, really, right, to a certain extent. No, you're like,
that was actually a that was pretty really good answer.
So
actually,
I hear that your strategy is you just repeat.
Well, like, you know, look, like, I am a sports team fan more than a, like, I can talk probably more about, like, I love the Clippers, I love the Jets.
Sure, right.
You know, sadly.
Clippers and Jets.
I know, but the Clippers, at least, they got some drive. And when they're not being terribly injured, they got some drive. But no, like, so I'm like much more of a team-based guy. So a lot of the times when I was doing the league, we're going into like Dallas or Tennessee or whatever. And then they're like, all right, let's talk about what's going on with the Titans right now. Like, I don't know anything about what's going on with the Titans. Like, I'll watch them play. And it's like, it's tricky. And so what I found, my technique was always to repeat the question back and say it with a point of view. Like some sort of thing, I'd be like, so they're like, so what do you think that, you know, what do you think about the Titans offense here? Like, well, look, the Titans have what they have. Right? I mean, obviously, right? And I think what they're going to try to do is they're going to try to go for it.
Yes.
But they're not, you know, they're never going to push. I mean, because at the end of the day, they're the Titans. Like,
right.
And I didn't say anything. But I've just said something that makes me feel like, oh yeah, all right, yeah, yeah.
I just find it fascinating because you have a show, The League, that resonates so much with sports fans to where sports fans will go up to you in public and be like, man, I want to talk to you about my fantasy team. And that struggle must be so real.
Well, to me, it's like this, right? Fantasy teams are like your dreams. No one wants to hear them.
Right.
They're interesting
and
to you.
And poker stories.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. It's like showing your friends sides of your vacation. No one cares.
Nobody cares.
Like, you know, but you do, and it's great. I'm happy for you. Like, and by the way, no one wants to hear about my fantasy team.
Yeah.
Like, but yeah, people will be like, all right, who should I play? And like, and the question is like, I find with fantasy, is like, it's not that easy to answer, who should I play? It's like, well, who are you playing against? Who do you have?
And be honest,
welcome
like
to
bullshit.
My world.
Yeah.
Because that's what
he
I get on Sunday mornings.
About saying,
I don't do mess with fantasy football. But him and other guys around the office and friends, that's all they do to me all week. Oh, who would you play this week? This guy or this guy? And I constantly have to answer. It drives me crazy. And I'm in football and sports, and you're not, and which is even more crazy.
But you know what? It's tough because at the end of the day, it's just you have no control over these people.
None.
And you there's no somebody be like, oh, yeah, I picked him, and he, like, scored, like, 7 touchdowns. Like, there's no way that you knew.
Yeah,
that
right.
Like, it's sometimes you just go off and you have this amazing game.
Sure.
Like,
we had Matt Walsh in here a little bit ago, and I was talking about the divide sometimes between comedians and sports fans. Comedians love to focus on what human beings obsess over that is so unimportant.
Right.
And sports fans are the kings of focusing on things that are important.
God.
That divide, I feel like you're seeing more than anybody.
Well, yeah, because it's like, I remember, like, growing up, you would have, like, these big books. Like, you know, you look in the book, like, all right, well, this guy on turf, he'll run for this many yards. But on grass, he's running for that. Like, you're, like, looking at all these stats, like, it makes a difference. Here's what I'm going to tell you. Fantasy football players, it doesn't make a difference.
That's
You'll
it.
Never know. It's like, it's sports. You're never going to know.
That's
like,
why it's great.
It's awesome. That's why it's exciting to watch.
Right.
And it gets to me, I'm actually going to pare down my fantasy teams because it's too stressful.
It's too
I'm
much.
Like sitting there, I'm like, oh,
I can't deal with it.
It's like you're, yeah. So I'm gonna go down to like one fantasy team, and I like this. My friends have this gambling league where you put in like $300,
right?
And they give you like $10,000,
right?
And you can spend that any which way you want over the season. Like you can dole it out. You can bet $10,000 on the first game of the first, you know.
Right.
And I like that. I like, but it's like it's hard. It's like because I was in 3 leagues this year, a confidence league and something else. I'm like. And I get anxiety. Like, oh, wait, they're playing Thursday, and then you forget it's Thursday because you're also setting your lineup for Monday, and it's like, there's no days off. It's too much.
Right.
So one thing that he does, I know he recognized you from Yo Gabba Gabba.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Kids.
Boom.
That's
there you go.
I mean, they were like, you know, Paul Scheer's coming on, and I was like, man. And I,
knock,
of course,
knock, joke of the day.
Exactly right.
I know. I know
and
what
he
I've
came
done.
On, I was like, wait, I know him from one of my kids' shows they used to watch.
That was a fun, crazy thing. Like, Yo Gabba Gabba is kind of a cooler version of Sesame Street, or
Nick Jr., right?
Nick Jr., yeah, right. I guess. Like, basically, these two guys were like, I have these kids, and I want to blow my brains out if I watch another Barney's or The Wiggles or whatever the hell that is.
Right.
He's like, I want to have like cool bands on the show. I want to have like comedians that we like on the show, and would like make it at least, like, I don't want to like kill myself while I'm on the couch watching with
right.
the kid. So they made like a fun show, and I met them at a party, and I was like, oh, I'd love to do your show. And they're like, well, what do you want to do? And I was like, I don't want to dance because you have all these other people dancing.
Right.
Like, let me do comedy with McBrayer. And so we came up with Knock Knock Jokes. But crazy thing about it is it's Nickelodeon. And I'm like, oh,
it's
Knock Knock Jokes.
It's hard to come with PG Knock Knock Jokes,
Well, even
right?
when you come with PG Knock Knock Jokes, they're like, wait a second. Hmm. Like, one, I dressed up as a cop, and I'm knocking on the door. And, you know, it's a joke, whatever the dumb joke was.
Right.
Well, we don't want to send the message that kids should be disrespectful to police officers if they come knocking at the door. I'm like, oh, and then like one time I was wearing a cow costume and I had udders, and that udder looks like a penis. I'm like, it's an udder, I'm in a cow costume,
yeah,
come
right.
on. So it's like, yeah, so it was funny
I
to go behind the scenes.
Six penises, judging me.
Jack and I would basically, I think, we shot 2 days over the course of like 2 years. Like one in one day, shot like 8 of them.
Yeah.
Went another day, shot 8 of them, and they just kind of like lock them into the show. Yeah.
So the other thing that he does that multiple people in the office came up to tell me about was his podcast, How Did This Get Made?
Yes.
Which I'm going to start listening to. I'm embarrassed that I didn't.
Don't worry
what they
about.
Do is they watch crappy movies,
right.
and then what do you like kind of break down the plot?
We basically, the way I would describe it is when you go see a crappy movie with your friends, you want to sit down and kind of talk about what you just saw.
Right, like what was the George Clooney movie I watched this year that I walked out on it? What was the movie? Cleopatra?
Wait.
Or,
What?
With George Clooney had a comedy movie out.
The old brother where are the Coen Brothers movie, right?
Yeah. What the heck was that movie?
Hail Caesar.
Hail Caesar.
That was the worst movie I've ever seen.
They're doing movies like Love Guru, Geely, and Congo. Congo cracks me up because I had a friend that would go up to any movie that was playing and go, "Is this Congo?" It would be like Mary Poppins. He'd be like, "Is this Congo?" But I want him to kind of settle Ace Ventura 2.
Oh, sure.
One of my top five movies.
What?
Thank you.
He just said his answer
Thank you.
Ace Ventura 2.
Other thing
it's better than Ace Ventura 1.
You're insane. Yes. Insane person.
You're insane.
Sometimes.
He's from Philadelphia.
You could say like, "Oh, I like Dumb and Dumber more than Ace Ventura." I would go there. I would go there. But not Ace Ventura 2.
He was in the
when
jungle.
Nature calls. Yeah. He gets in a rhinoceros's
he gets out of a rhinoceros.
Wins somehow too.
Yeah, we don't know.
Speaking of sports, I will talk about a movie.
Speaking of rhinos, now to the sports.
The movie that you guys got to watch. I mean, I know that you probably look at different sports figures and how they get into film. Let's talk about Rowdy Roddy Piper, who's in a movie called Hell Comes to Frogtown, where he plays the last virile man in the world. He has sperm that he needs to give to women, and then he needs to find these women and impregnate them in a world filled with frogs who have mutated from the nuclear war and hate humans now. It's the most insane movie ever. He wears a codpiece the entire movie, and basically he's just forced to have sex with these women. It's not like a porn in any way, although that description makes it sound exactly like a porn.
He's forced to, huh?
Yeah, and he's like, "Oh, I don't want to do it. I can't get in the mood for it." Yeah. And if they want to control him, one of the women who brings him around like has an earring, and she like zap him like, gets his junk zapped.
Right.
But he's the only man that has viable sperm in
the
world.
Is that on the next episode of the podcast?
That was like the one that we just released, so you can listen to it now about Hell Comes to Frogtown.
How does that even come?
That's the theme of the podcast.
And so we kind of talk about
it. You found a niche there.
I'm a little upset that you did Con Air, because I feel like Con Air was such a great movie.
We do things like this. We do How Did This Get Made, and Thank God This Got Made. So like, for the Fast and Furious, Thank God This Got Made.
Right.
Those are movies
are
great.
Even Fast and Furious 9?
Come on, let's keep on going. I just read someone, we're actually doing a live reading of a script. This is the craziest thing. Somebody wrote a funny spec script called Fast 9, and it's the Fast and the Führer, where the Fast and Furious guys go back in time to race Hitler. The Master Race. So they're going to go race him in the Master Race.
It's amazing.
Insane. They team up with Doc Brown. Doc Brown gives them a time machine DeLorean, and they go, and they all go back.
That sounds like he's got a chance.
He put it on Indiegogo, and he's like, "I'm trying to raise $100 million to get this made." But of course, as a joke.
I saw you did something with Space Jam 2. Do you think that movie will be on the Thank God It Got Made, or How Did This Get Made?
No, Space Jam 1 is like...
Will you really watch it? It's not a good movie.
No,
really
it's a terrible
bad.
Movie. Yeah. I did a live read, which you can kind of watch online.
Yeah.
But it's like a good movie because we remember it as a child.
Exactly. Yes.
Right?
How old are you?
I'm like 40.
Okay, I'm 35.
Okay, so yeah. So it's.
Are you 40 or are you like 40?
I'm like 40. Okay. I'm 40. I'm
like maybe 39 or 41?
Yeah. You don't know. Okay. Today is my birthday and I'm no, but it's like Space Jam like it exists in our heart because it's like we were a kid, right? Michael Jordan.
Jumped over the monsters.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and we did a live read. It was Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan. Blake Griffin played Michael Jordan. DeAndre played Charles Barkley, and he was hilarious. His impression of Charles Barkley is insane.
That's right.
And so we did this like big, fun live read of that script. And you realize, that script is really, really bad. But like now it's like, it's a LeBron, right?
That's what I heard.
LeBron's not going to be able to. I guess he was good in Trainwreck.
What did you think?
I haven't seen Trainwreck, but everybody said he was pretty good.
What did you think? Be honest.
He's LeBron.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and it's like, that's like...
Half of his role, like, acting is just being himself.
LeBron. Like, you know, it's like, and you let LeBron say funny stuff. Like, it's like, that's LeBron, and he's talking about Downton Abbey. Like, so that's funny because it's a juxtaposition.
It's LeBron, and he talks about not being able to get girls, when it's like, you're LeBron.
Yeah, it's like, I like LeBron just fine, but I'm like, I don't know if I need him to be, like, making that transition. And by the way, Michael Jordan's one of my favorite... You know, of course. Like, grew up with Michael Jordan. Like, I don't know if I need to see him, like, in acting in movies. I don't think he needs to, you know, it's like, stay in your lane. Everyone should stay in their lane.
I was going to say, do you have the stay in your lane where it's like, you do your thing and make billions of dollars?
I'm not jumping off the Miami Heat bench to, like, pop up some threes, you know? Like, I mean, like,
But like, it is a movie, Space Jam, about, I mean.
Well, that one's
I mean,
so,
yeah, that's yeah. specific. But, yeah, right. that is specific.
Right. Okay. But that movie's being made for, like, McDonald's giveaway toys. And, like, yeah. that is just going to be
But here's
money
the thing, too. Who cares about Looney Tunes anymore? Like, when is, like, you have kids, right?
I do. I have a 9-year-old and a 5-year-old. I try to always show them Looney Tunes. I've got them like, into, like, Bugs Bunny.
Okay, they like it.
And the Road Runner. I've been like, you got to watch okay. this. These are classics.
Okay, that's good, because I think most kids are like, I'm into UG Go Go or You're Doggy right. Patrol right. or whatever.
Or Yo Gabba Gabba.
Yo Gabba Gabba. Right. Please. But I know, but thank God for your children and supporting my art. But you know, like, yeah, it's like, it's weird. Kids are like, kind of like, Muppets don't really exist for them. It's like,
right.
forget that. Forget
yeah.
that.
No. Sesame Street's on HBO.
And by the way, I mean, like, Full Frontal. I just watched the episode of Sesame Street last week where I guess a fire starts. Big Bird's junk is out there, full package, just hanging.
HBO changes yeah. everything.
D&B's just hanging in the wind. Finally, Sesame Street gets to down the basics.
Wow.
Grover, sucking, effing, doing it all. It's so good. Man. HBO Go. It's like Game of Thrones with Muppets. It's great.
Man, so Big Bird showing his kahunas.
Finally, huh? after years.
Wait, are you believing him?
No, I'm not.
Okay, good.
But I would like to see it.
Man. Big Bird in that Big Khaleesi Bird's pose. Right. That Khaleesi pose of just Big Bird just naked.
Oscar just goes back in the cage like,
By the way, I will say to every parent out there, if you have HBO Go, and you should because you have HBO, and if you don't, come on, get HBO. It's the best thing because you have a child, and you can just plop them down. They have every episode of Sesame Street. I put my kid down there 3 months ago, and I haven't even checked back in. He's got like, I got like about 4 months left. It's got every episode. You know, you throw some Cheerios in a room, and they'll be fine.
Wait, we got to ask him. You just came from Howard Stern, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Which is hard. I mean, you know, that's a downplay compared to us.
No, my gosh. I was saying Howard. I was like, let's wrap it up. I got to go to Simlefco.
We got to get over there. What was like? Come on. What was like the craziest question he asked?
Well, I didn't actually
Because I would love to ask him crazy crap.
I didn't do Stern proper. I did the wrap-up show afterwards, and I did some prank phone calls with those guys.
Okay.
So that's what funny. I did was I pranked my grandma. My grandma from New York, and like most
what area
grandmas.
Of New York?
I'm from Long Island. Okay. So you know, I grew up all there. You know, it's like, yeah, that's my hometown.
You're very European looking.
Thank
okay, I just say
you.
That.
Thank you. Yes, I have a very
Parisian
thing.
When I looked you up,
thing.
I was like, "Damn, is he from England or
That's
Germany?
Am I Denmark?
Right? I didn't know." But then I was like, "Damn, he's from New York."
But my grandma's like a very. She's become super conservative. My grandmother should be a correspondent for Fox News. And by the way, if you love Fox News, no offense to you, it's great. But my grandma is like all
she's
on
all in.
Board.
Right.
And so I was like, I've been telling her for the last 2 weeks. I'm like, "Hey, Grandma, I'm going to New York City. I'm gonna work with Obama in this fundraiser," and she's like, "and she's like, oh no, you can't." And then I gotta tell her again, and she's like, "Oh no, you can't." And then I called her up today, and I was like, "I'm here. I just donated a lot of money in your name, and so you have to be okay with it." She's like, "Oh, I don't want you to do that." And then I was like, "Oh, here's Obama. Talk to Obama." And then we had this Obama impersonator talk to my grandma, and then he was very inappropriate with my grandma. And it was hilarious to see her deal with that.
That's
Obama
amazing.
Kept on asking her to rub the phone against her breast.
Oh,
she's poor
grandma.
She's like, "I will not do that.
Poor grandma.
I will not do that." He's like, "I'm the president. I can make you do that." And she's like, I will not. He's like, "Do it." She's like, "I will not." My grandma's 90 years old, and she held in there like a champ. She like showed up to Obama, and like I was like, I thought my grandma would back down to Obama. No, not at all. She's like,
no.
I'm like, my grandma, I was like, "You're talking to like, well, you think you're talking to the president." She's like, "I tell you, I'm not happy with you, and you
amazing.
Didn't do a good job."
That's where your improv chops.
Yeah, there,
an
yeah.
old lady with a opinion in New York.
I've
never
right.
heard of that.
All right, so two weeks ago, where we had Matt Walsh on here,
yes.
we were doing improv, and
I know improv.
He is so bad at improv that I tried to explain to Matt, I'm not interested in you doing improv. I'm interested in Sims trying to do improv.
Okay.
I want to give you redemption.
Okay.
I want to try one more.
Redemption?
Would you mind?
You mean I was phenomenal the first time?
He aborted
around.
The first time. We were like in 2 minutes. He's like, I can't do it. I can't do improv. I can't do it.
All right. Let me. You know,
set the
maybe,
scene for us.
All right. Well, maybe the issue is this.
Right.
I'm going to give you a tip. Okay.
Okay.
What you just be yourself. You
yeah.
don't have to be a crazy character, right? Just be yourself and act the way that you would normally act. But you can't leave.
Okay.
Like that's what you have to do. You're just going to be listening, and you just have to know that you can't leave where we're at.
Right.
And you're just yourself.
Okay.
All right.
I can
so you
that.
Can set the scene.
That was
Let's
good.
Coach.
You're a better coach than Mike McClintock.
See.
I don't even know who's that.
That's who Walsh plays
Walsh
on Veep.
Veep.
Get to know your guests on your show, okay? Holy cow, that's an embarrassing moment.
All right, so we're gonna be in a cafeteria. He is gonna be the lunch lady, and we are gonna be two students in line.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
Next,
man. meatloaf again, Chris. This stinks.
Do you have...
Man, were you okay?
No. Sorry. What do you guys want? Meatloaf?
No, no meatloaf. No meatloaf. Chris, what do you want?
Do you have rice and beans?
Yeah, let me get it. Hold on 1 second.
Damn.
I'm sorry.
Can I have 2 scoops, please?
You got it. You know, it's just been
Zeke
really...
came to the lunch lady, huh?
Oh, yeah, it's so upsetting. My daughter, she's pregnant. We got one of those Zika babies. She is beautiful. Her head is so bizarre looking. Yeah.
Thank you. Do you have a picture of your daughter?
Oh, yeah, of course I do. I got it on my iPad. There you go. Look at this. There's a picture of her. She's beautiful, beautiful. We tie a little rope around her neck so she looks like a balloon. You know, it's a little different. Anyway, you guys are nice. And what do you want that rice and beans,
rice
too?
Rice and beans, please, yes. Without your Zika's
It's not contagious.
Yeah,
it's not contagious. You know, I have a very interesting fact about me. You guys never asked me about me. I brought HPV to America.
Oh.
Yeah.
You're the one.
I am the
one. How did you contract this disease?
I had some fun in France.
The damn Parisians.
Yeah, we had some fun. You know, so I just want you guys to know I'm down to clown.
Right.
If you guys ever want to, you know, get, you know, make some sloppy joes with me, you know what? You know, like, let's do it. I can take off the gloves. We can do it all in the back.
I'm totally in.
I'm not touching you with a 10-foot pole, lady.
See, look at him.
Sorry.
He's great.
That was good. That was good. I'm the one that was getting nervous.
Yeah, look at this.
That was awesome.
He's sweating. Look at him.
I always sweat. I sweat in everything.
Work on your improv skills, man.
I was great there.
He was, like, all about the rice and beans moving along the scene.
I eat rice and beans for lunch every day.
Really?
He has had rice and beans for lunch 8 months in a row?
Yeah.
8 months in a row. He's one of those athletes OCD.
Well, let's talk about that because that was the diet that my friend had in college dorm because that was like the only thing that was safe to eat in the college dorm. Like rice and beans.
Right.
Can't mess that up.
Yeah. Right.
So what is it get like? So where is your, you start big? Do you eat a big breakfast or do you just go like, I want to see where your day stacks up?
Yeah. Toast with jelly. On the train ride in.
Okay, got it.
The wife will make about 3 pieces of toast with jelly.
Okay.
And then I have some vegan organic protein shakes that I will drink right after.
I like it.
Then, how many shots of espresso?
And then I have a coffee mug. I don't have it here with me. With 3 shots of espresso, rest full of coffee.
Not espresso, expresso.
Nespresso. I sip on that for about 3 hours.
Okay.
But then lunchtime.
So nice cold espresso.
No, well, these Starbucks mugs are amazing.
Hold it in.
Yes. And so,
like 3 shots of espresso is like this much espresso, right? Okay, so
right. It's not crazy.
That's not a lot.
No,
yeah. It's like, I mean, if you're thinking it all during the day,
I'm drinking 5 to 6 cups over a 3.5 hour span.
Right. That's
okay.
Fine.
So either way, but then I do Chipotle.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's great. I'm down with that. A burrito bowl.
And I do.
Well, you're saying he's got this intense athlete thing. No athlete.
Because he eats the same thing every day. Like it's the same thing.
Well, I did change it. I went some grilled vegetables with some hot sauce on top, but then I also go to Balducci's and get a seaweed salad as well. So I have that every day.
Here's what I'm going to say.
Right.
I think you figured it out.
Yeah.
Because we spend so much time going, what am I going to wear today? Right? What am I going to eat?
Oh.
Woody Allen, right? Not that he should be the model for anybody's way of life, but I'll use it as an example here. Woody Allen has like one thing that he eats every day for lunch. So when it's never a question, it's like, what are we getting for lunch? Turkey sandwich.
Right. That's the Zuckerberg Elon Musk thing. They wear the same type of shirt every day. They have an entire closet of one shirt to remove decision making.
Well, it's great. It makes life so much easier
because
it's like it's this one less thing you have to think about. You can focus on your major stuff, your improv training.
Right.
And you can
going to Chipotle is the worst experience.
Why?
Because he gets into line, and if you've ever seen people in Chipotle, they are robotic.
Right.
So it's scoop of rice, scoop of beans. He then goes, no, 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 which causes the ecosystem of Chipotle to shut down.
Right.
Because no one talks more than rice, beans, chicken.
Right.
Like, whatever.
But what are you doing?
Can I have double steak and double chicken?
Yeah.
So he goes,
more rice, more beans. And it's like programmed in their brain to not give more than that spoon. So they look back at the manager who then like has to freak out. And he goes, no, 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 I need more. All I'm eating is rice and beans. And they shut down. I've seen people just be like,
they got him now. Now they just got him.
Yeah, because he's
trained them.
They're working on that guac scoop. Like that guac scoop, they have to be like, that's like gold. Like, by the way, like, when people say America, we don't have like enough money or whatever, we should just start selling our guacamole to foreign countries, because that seems to be the most precious resource we have. And when they dole that out, it's like, come on, guys, can we get a little bit more generous with this? Like, come on.
It's unbelievable.
I got Chipotle today. I got guac, and they didn't charge me for guac.
Wow.
And I felt
now
like
you're winning.
I robbed Fort Knox.
Now, both of you are eating at Chipotle. I am not worried about
this
you because of rice
time.
And beans. Okay, but you're okay with, like, didn't they have, like, a whole thing
He's
where everyone...
He's a human trash can. He can eat anything, and his stomach seems to handle it.
Okay, but I'm saying, like, didn't they have, like...
He thinks it was a conspiracy theory.
Well, what's a conspiracy
theory? Well, I just think somebody did it to Chipotle. Yeah. Right.
You think someone got in there and was like...
You think
something on the lettuce,
like,
somebody, something like that. Right.
You know what? By the way, I agree. Maybe I'm going to be on your side here. That's conspiracy theory. Who put E. coli in the Chipotle stuff?
And listen, I wasn't really against it when they did have the E. coli thing going on. The lines were... The lines were short. It was great to get lunch.
Well, yeah, because you got the rice and beans.
I mean, bam.
You know, it's not
in
bad.
In and out.
All right, check out the league. Check out, of course, How Did This Get Made?
Old
what
episodes
else?
Of the league. Check out old episodes.
What else?
The league is done.
Yeah, well, go on FX. What else are you working on right now?
Right now, you can watch. You can check out this show that I'm doing with The Lonely Island called Party Over Here. I produced that show. It's a sketch show. And it's on Saturday nights at 11. If you've never seen it, you can watch this week. It's kind of a best of episode.
Okay.
And I'm going to be in the new Andy Samberg Lonely Island movie, Pop Star. I have a small little part in that.
Cool.
So super fun.
I know we got to wrap up, but I want to ask you, so working with those guys, how the creative juice has been flowing? You guys are all awesome.
It's, you know, it's super fun working with those guys. They are, I was talking about this today a little bit, they're like three people, but they share like one comedy brain. So it's like you get like the, like, it's almost like Voltron, like when you were a kid of Voltron, it's like they make one super awesome, like one super robot, but they all are under the same brain, and it's like because they each have a strength in a different way.
Right.
So we could work on a piece or work on something, and like Akiva has an idea, and Andy has an idea, and Yorma has an idea, and they just kind of build on each other. So it's been really fun that way.
That's awesome. Sure. Congratulations.
You're the man. I enjoyed it.
Thanks, man. I really did.
Be good, you European Long Islander.
Yeah, I enjoy it.
Really nice
get your, and I hope neither of you get E. coli.
Yeah, thank you.
I hope that you guys don't get E. coli.
God, you're the best.
Stay safe at home.
All right, go and go
live
enjoy
your life
yourself.
Like Woody Allen. Bye.
Hey, you stylish too. Yeah. Look at you today. Yeah. Brand new kicks for today,
dude. I bring my TV kicks on, right? Like, you got to keep that white. All right, talk to you later.
See ya.
Bye.
Be good. I know I say this almost every time we have a guest, but he was one of my favorites.
Are you gonna go off again?
I am.
I'd say he's top five.
Man, he was hilarious.
I'm gonna put
awesome.
Him up there with Idris Elba. I'll say it right now.
Yeah,
I'll
he was definitely up there. He was fun. He was a lot of fun. We could have done whatever with him. And then my improv blew you out of the water. So, like, it was a great episode.
Yeah, well, now that he told you to be yourself, the fact I shouldn't have put you in the lunch line. Because, of course, you know what to do in the lunch line.
Yes.
A little upset about Ace Ventura 2.
Oh, shocker. Are you kidding me?
We should have an episode of this podcast where we watch scenes of Ace Ventura 2 and then just break it down.
Yeah, let's not waste our
just
time or the viewers.
Just
like a movie special watching Ace Ventura 2.
Yeah.
We don't got a lot of time, do we?
Yeah, it's time to wrap it up, my friend.
All right.
Did we miss any other sports subjects that I could just throw crap at right now?
Let's do rapid fire Sims. Russell Westbrook.
Oh, man, he's amazing. But somebody just start saying that he's better than Kevin Durant.
He's
that
better
was my
than Kevin
point.
Durant. I agree.
Mean, come on. Are you kidding me? Are
Hot
you watching basketball?
Chris Sims.
All right, yes.
You can also.
Well, Westbrook, the thing I love about Westbrook is also, that's where I wanted to say, at least in my lifetime, since 1980 on, he is certainly one of the, I'm going to say, three best athletes in the history of basketball.
I've never seen someone move
explosive
with the ball in
speed,
their hands that
quickness,
fast.
Right, all those things.
Two, I've officially won our bet between the Warriors and the Spurs because
damn,
the scores were eliminated.
Spurs,
so now
what
you
the hell are you
stuff.
Doing?
And really quick thing, what do you think about it being revealed that LeBron got paid $1 billion by Nike on a lifetime contract?
I mean,
there's part of me that thinks $1 billion was a low number for LeBron.
I don't
for
even,
a lifetime?
Yeah, I hear you. You're right. Probably. But either way.
Like, I feel like each of his shoes does.
Are
like,
people mad out there that he's getting $1 billion?
No, I just think it's one of those things where people hear that number and they're just like, and they don't know
like
what
reaction. Mark Jackson last night on the Oklahoma, during the Raptors-Cavs game, he goes, He goes, I read an article recently where people said, you know, it went Michael, and then it went to Kobe, and now it's Steph Curry's league. Are you kidding me? Whoever wrote that article is an idiot.
I don't think it was ever Kobe's league.
No, it was never Kobe's league. And I don't know. You know me. LeBron James is the second best basketball player I've ever seen.
Last thing. Do you think Jordan will be famous in perpetuity
right.
because of the brand and the like the logo and all that
right.
stuff?
It was great timing.
He'll never go away.
No.
Can LeBron have that same length of post-career as Jordan?
I do think he can. I don't know if it'll be as strong because of the Jordan brand is so strong.
I also think Jordan in retrospect with history,
right.
has no blemishes. He never lost a finals.
He did a really smart thing and went and played baseball for 2 years where it really saved him. It saved him. Yeah. That was a big thing because the chances of us sitting here going, man, the Bulls won 8 in a row, they're pretty unlikely. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, there's all the rumors about what really happened. But I think that LeBron, I don't think anyone could ever be the Jordan because there's something about getting in before a certain era.
Yeah.
And that era was the positivity era.
Right.
Everything on TV was great and it was true and it was awesome.
I
think Kobe could have a Jordan-esque like post-career because of the love for him in Asia. And I don't think the Asian market has been tapped into as concentrated as the American market is. And their love for Kobe is insane.
Wow.
There's an article about Kobe that when he took a trip to Asia, that there was a guy that slept above a doorway for 2 to 3 days, and he plopped down in front of Kobe just so that when he did that, Kobe would make eye contact, and he goes, Kobe, I love you. And then he was immediately, all he wanted was eye contact with Kobe. That's the love for Kobe in Asia because they love his killer instinct, like being kind of rude and domineering.
Right,
and
like, you know, because LeBron going to 6 straight NBA finals, he doesn't have killer instinct. That doesn't exist.
There it is.
6 straight NBA finals.
Episode 63 of the podcast.
That was fun.
Paul Scheer was awesome. Josh Fendrick.
I thought that was great. Good night, everybody.
Hey, great. It's your show. I'm glad you thought
it
was good.
All right, Gabe, put your fingers up there and let them know what it's going.
Those things are in trouble this weekend.
Control Room, you guys are amazing as always. Thank you for being you. And
you real funny. No wonder.
Steinmetz wants to sleep.
Didn't
he's doing
do
all this
crap.
Stuff.
Look at Nelson back there with Canvasser. Oh, my gosh.
Even Michelle's trying to lean down. All right, you guys are awesome. As always, thank you for subscribing. Audio Boom, check it out. iTunes, subscribe, leave us a comment. And we'll see you next week for episode 64.
Peace, homies.